It's now 5:31. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Woodway City Council meeting, December 11th. It's a doubleheader tonight. We have two meetings back to back. So we will try to get through all the agenda items tonight and make it a great meeting. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And let me be the first to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Thank you for being here. Opening the meeting at 5:31. Our first item on our first agenda, this is meeting number one, is our invocation. Is Father Wright here? Father Wright? Not here. Want to make sure. Father Wright? Doesn't look like it. Okay. Father Wright was supposed to lead our invocation. He's not here, so let me see if that's him walking in. No?
I don't think so.
Okay. Not here. All right. Well, would you bow your heads and pray with me? Let's ask the Lord to start our meeting this evening. Father God, we come to you first to honor you. We thank you, God, for the blessing of living in this great city. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity we have to serve. And God, we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus. This Christmas season, we're reminded constantly of the gift you gave us with your son. Father, we ask that as we go through the next couple of weeks, we're just reminded of all the blessings you've given us through your son and also through the ability to live in this wonderful city. Father, help us to share the blessings you've given us with others, especially those who are less fortunate. And help us, Father, to always remember your goodness and your faithfulness to us. I pray for peace in Woodway. I ask for unity. And Father, I ask that you'd be honored in our meeting tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
At this time, I'll ask you that you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, if you're able.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Item number three is our introduction of our new public safety officer. So I'm going to pass this over to Chief.
Yes, sir. So I'd like to start a new tradition of introducing new public safety officers so the community can see a face with the name whenever they come into contact with us. First, we have Officer Crockett. Officer Crockett just graduated from the Police Academy, putting him on the spot over here. 27 years old, has a bachelor's in human development and family science from Syracuse University. Came to us from Unbound Waco, where he served as the head educational trainer over there. He's here with his wife and his mother. And if you want to say a few words, introduce them, and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I'm Charlie, Officer Crockett, as you all probably guess known me as. But this is my wife, Bailey.
Hi.
Crockett, my mom, Amy Crockett. It's just, working in your city. I've been impressed by every single part of this. I just can't wait. I've been for 2 days now, so served your Facebook for 2 days, so I'm really excited. This is an amazing team and amazing city. So.
Oh, you awesome. Come to my house when I get in trouble.
Can we get a picture with the mayor and the new officer,
yes,
too?
We get a great value with him because, you know, not only that, but if you pay by the foot, we get a great
value. He's the entry guy on our SWAT team. There you go.
Welcome to the greatest police and fire department,
yes,
in Texas.
And you will help. Appreciate that. You got it.
He saves on shield costs. He's kind of getting behind the
Father Wright, are you here? Hey, Father Wright, come on in. Hey, it never hurts to have too much credit, right? Craig Crystal, would you mind just giving us
do it again.
Father Wright from
St. Nicholas Orthodox Church.
Welcome to have you. Thank you. And would you mind just coming and leading us in the opening
prayer? Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ our God, during this time of year, we eagerly await your advent, your nativity, your incarnation. For you are the Son of God who becomes one with us so that we might become one with you. Grant us patience as we await the celebration of your advent on earth, and more so, grant us the same as we await the fullness of your advent in glory. And while we wait, grant us wisdom and strength to live in accordance with the kindness and the generosity and the peace that your earthly life demonstrated for us. Our God, grant the leaders gathered here to make wise decisions that lead this community in ways that care for all its citizens and promote peace in the hearts of all people. For this is the calling you have given to each of us, that we might one day join you in the eternal kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to whom belong all glory, honor, and praise, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Wright. All righty, well, moving on to item number 4. This is our public comment section. And if you are here for the bike lane discussion, we are actually going to be covering that in meeting number 2. So you're welcome to speak in this public comment, but we will have another opportunity for visitors to speak in the second meeting. So we'll try to get through this one so that you can have public comments on the next one. So at this time, the City Council invites citizens to address the council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The timer will be here on the screen behind us, so you can see how much time you have left. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When called to speak, please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state that item before beginning your comments. Thank you so much for your cooperation. All right, at this time, I will invite any citizen who would like to address council for meeting number 1. Is there anybody who would like to address council? Yes, sir.
Rayford Carter, 8603 Oakdale Drive, Woodway. I want to talk about the change in the street lane configuration on Hewitt Drive, the Estates Drive. I'm very much opposed to the city changing the street lane configuration on Estates Drive. That would create a very dangerous situation on such a busy street, particularly during peak traffic times. It would be hazardous for the automobiles, the walkers, if any, the cyclists, if any. The city has many residential streets for walkers and cyclists, and they can use them rather than the busiest street in Woodway. It would also be difficult to enter the street from the side street with a one-lane traffic. The city states that it would be too costly to purchase easements along Estates Drive for Woodway for the sidewalks. Do you know this? Have you asked the people what they would sell it for? I would bet that people would donate the easement if you asked them to. When the city built the bridge over the creek down here by the Arboretum, the man that owned part of the property where the bridge was going to be at, he at first did not want to do it, but the city politely asked him and encouraged and twisted little arms, and he donated part of the city, the land for the bridge. The same thing could be done for the easements on the sidewalks. When Midway ISD raised this old Woodway Elementary School, they also removed the sidewalks. Then Midway ISD asked the city of Woodway if they would forgo the rebuilding of the sidewalks, and the city gave them a pass and allowed them to not build the sidewalks. Midway has built schools in Waco and Hewitt, and each city required the school district to make sidewalks available, but Woodway did not. If the city continues to use this idea of making a safe drive with two lanes of traffic, it would be even more ridiculous than the decision to letting Midway not have to build the sidewalks like they did. Again, I am very most opposed to the change on a stage drive. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
sir. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Norm Hoffman, Western Oaks. I want to talk about item number 6, the bathroom. Change the subject totally. And I regret that I don't have the ability to speak after you guys go through your black book that has the details that I don't have to have this discussion, because I may be regurgitating a little bit. Is the facility different than the one that is located at Pogue Park or at Midway Park? If so, is it more or less expensive than that one that was created, which is used a lot? Is the size comparable to the one at Pogue Park? What other cost will the city incur other than this possible disbursement, such as plumbing, electric, the water tap, the walkways, and the platform? What's the total scope? Maybe this is the total scope, and you guys can tell me that later, but I don't know that. And once you make the decision and you vote, or you have a chance to vote, I'm left out of the discussion as a citizen. I don't have the ability to ask any more questions. It's done. And budget-wise, where are the funds coming from? I know we have the funds. I'm just asking from an accounting point of view, where are the funds coming from? In saying all of that, I am for the bathroom. I like the idea. I'm shocked that I walk Pogue Park every morning, or Midway Park every morning and evening with the dog. I am shocked at the people that use the bathroom. It is a used facility. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
My name is Curtis Odell. I live at 9309 Bryce Drive. I'm speaking today regarding the new proposed development between Jordan Lane and Woodway Elementary School. I have no objections regarding the development. This land is zoned as commercial. I want to first thank the developers for agreeing to build a fence between along the perimeter with the elementary school and the church. This increases safety for the kids at the school and helps limit the lights and noise bouncing into the neighborhood. Second, I want to appeal to the developer to eliminate the driveway connecting the property to the corner of Bryce and Harvey. When Fuego was built years ago, Bryce and Harvey were heavily impacted by traffic, vehicle lights and noise from cars cutting through the field. I remember this impact vividly, as do many of the neighbors on Harvey who have lived there for a while. My additional concern relates to the safety connected to the proposed driveway. Bryce and Harvey are full of pedestrians, especially children, because of the school and playground. Adults, children, and family use the street on foot in a variety of ways. A commercial driveway would drastically impact the fabric of a residential community. I went door to door about a week ago. Not everyone was home, but those that were, nearly every neighbor on Harvey signed the petition asking for the curb cut to be eliminated. This will help maintain the residential area and patterns of everyday life and keep the commercial traffic separate from the neighborhood. When entry and exit is possible off Jordan Lane, a driveway at Harvey and Bryce is not necessary. I have experienced firsthand the negative impacts of a driveway onto Bryce and Harvey. Woodway and the developers have already been very kind and attentive to resident concerns, and I hope this appeal will be regarded. Thank you, and that's all.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else to address council, please?
same item we can wait until the
this the item discussion. The item that he was just talking about?
Yeah.
No, sir. It's on the okay. It's on this one. So okay. You're good.
Good. Randy Robison Construction. We are in McGregor, Texas. We will be the developers for the property. Well, not the developer, but the contractors for mm-hmm. it. And we went through all of the process of drawing all the plans and met all of the requirements for development for that property. And then we spoke with Mr. Odle last meeting that we had here and addressed some of those concerns and decided that we should put a stop sign and a speed bump at that entry to slow down traffic and then to even have it stop before entering. And so those things were addressed. And the fences as well, where it abuts residential zoning. We have the developer here as well, Randy Reed. Will we have opportunity to talk about that during the discussion of the...
If we have any questions for you, we will ask you at that
perfect.
Agenda.
Okay, yes, I think sir. Randy Reed is available. He is the developer. We have the architect here as well.
So. Great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else to address council, please? Okay. There being no one else?
No.
Oh, that one? Okay.
David Fulbright.
Yes, sir.
David Fulbright, 8272 Forest Ridge Drive, Woodway. I'm here to echo the gentleman's comments about changing and adding the bike route and walking here on Estates Drive. I use that street a lot. I do not have any trouble, you know, missing biking people or walking people. I don't see any. Maybe there are some. I go up and down that road all the time. So we have a new development going in. Going to add a bunch more houses. It's going to bring more traffic up the road within 2 years. You know, are we going to be turning around and... inking out the bike lanes? You know, maybe we should wait a couple of years to see what that traffic does to Estates, because it's going to add a bunch more traffic. So, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not having trouble with bike riders or walkers. I never see any. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Oh. Yes, sir.
Jonathan Green, 10 Lakestone Court. Don't have anything specific tonight. I just wanted to say to all seven of you individually, as someone else who's been elected to serve the community, I just want to show my appreciation and express my gratitude to each and every one of you for what you do for our community, regardless of what comments or what other people might say. I am duly grateful to each and every one of you for what you do. And so I just want to encourage you and just express some gratitude, because I know it's a thankless job. I have one of those myself. So just wanted to be one of the few times you might hear thank you for what you do for our community, and just keep up the good work. That was it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sir, may I ask a question? Are we supposed to wait until meeting 2 to discuss the bicycle?
Yes, sir, if that's okay.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we're gonna try and get through this pretty quick, because I know we have a lot of folks who want to speak on that. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to close. You want to come?
I was going to talk about that.
Likely. Can you hold it till the next one? Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right, so we're closing public comments at 5:50, so we can move to item number 5. This is discussion and consider action on the site development plan in a planned district office complex, lot 20, block 1, Woodway Elementary School addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 9108 Jordan Lane. May I have a motion to open this for discussion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager, comments on number 5, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
The Planning and Zoning Commission took action on this application to develop and site to develop at their October 24th council meeting, which consisted of a public hearing also. You considered the same at the following meeting, November 13th, and you took action on everything but consideration of the site development plan, which is on page 4 in your packet. During this discussion, the developer was not in attendance, and you postponed this item for tonight's discussion. If we can go to slide 7, Ms. Barkley. That is the detail of the track in question along Jordan Lane. You're going to be asked, or you have been asked, about the left corner, of that is where that driveway is going out onto Bryce. If we can go to the next slide, please. That's the best detailed drawing I could get of the top left driveway exit entrance onto Bryce for your consideration. It also has the layout of the parking lot and the establishment of the buildings as currently proposed. Those are my comments, Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Manager. Council, this was pushed back from last meeting so we could have a chance to visit with the developer. Is Mr. Reed here? Hi. Mr. Reed, I'm going to let council ask any questions that they have, but
okay.
I think really we can't make you do anything. You've done everything by the book here. I think the one request we would have is just, of course, to please be a good neighbor to the neighbors who are around your office. I know you will be, but just to second that and to ask that that they be brought into any thought process about any construction or anything like that on your site.
Okay. Obviously we want to be a good neighbor. I've talked with the school district and at our cost, of course we're going to build a fence between our property and the school, both just for sight and noise, so on. I've got a different opinion on the back driveway, which I think is the thing that most of the people that have a problem with our development are concerned about. If you look at our property, we have two main drives, and they're on Jordan Lane. If we go out on Estates Drive, we're going to be competing with Dutch Brothers, and I think you've already learned that they produce a lot of traffic. There's another site next to Dutch Brothers that will also use the same driveways that Dutch Brothers uses, so there's going to be a little stress there. The way we've laid out these buildings, that back drive is not really very well seen. I don't think it's going to be a drastic impact like maybe some people think. That would be just a difference of opinion. Sharon feeds onto, what is that, Bryce? And then the Burnett Circle development, which is probably, I think, I sold quite a bit of that property over there. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe 5 times bigger than we are, has a drive now on that street to sort of be kind of an outlet if they need it. It's not going to be used as often as the frontage on 84, and really ours is the same way. Most people are going to use the two drives on Jordan Lane. It just makes more sense.
Okay.
It's easy to get in and out. But the back will be used and we need it. So we did agree to put a speed bump there, which we feel like will slow down the traffic and maybe discourage people from just using it, as a kind of a crossway, which we don't want. if that happened, I think we would look into dealing with that in some way. I'm not sure what it would be. I'd have to see it to be able to address it. But overall, I don't think it's going to be that big of an impact. I mean, the school is the biggest impact. Cars, kids, mm-hmm. noise, everything. And even Sharon, you know, there's church. There's a lot of feeders into that area. And I don't really think ours is going to be even close to the biggest feeder of traffic there. But I am aware that they're concerned about it. I can always be reached. If there's a problem, I have no problem trying to address it in some way that helps everyone. But, you know, we need it as kind of a release valve, which is how I look at it.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Any questions for Mr. Reed?
I believe when we talked last month, you had said that there was a restaurant that was going to rent that.
That's correct.
Piece. Mm-hmm. And it looks like on here that the, as you come in that curve, their drive-through would be right as you come in. And then it looks like it would naturally release into the neighborhood. I was thinking you said that you was going to talk to the tenant and see if they had a problem with it.
Well, the restaurant that we're working with is on the right side, so behind Dutch Brothers. There's not going to be a release into anything in the neighborhood. Okay. They would just circle the building.
In this situation, it looks like it would come in on the the left. I see. Looking from where you're looking.
Wrong building.
On this?
Wrong building.
You're it's saying far that away. Side is going to be the restaurant?
Yeah, we're behind Dutch. The okay. restaurant is behind Dutch Brothers, and right now we might do one more of those other five buildings relatively soon, but this could take 10 years. We don't know. But
now, this building right here on mm-hmm. our plan shows drive-through right as you go here. So the restaurant will not have a drive-through, is that correct?
It will have it will have a pickup window.
Okay, but this will not be the restaurant.
No, that was actually designed for a medical building.
Okay.
Or speculating.
I understand. You haven't rented it yet.
Our dream scenario.
Sure, sure. You only have the one far building that's rented, and it's a long ways from this.
It's a long ways from okay. there. That's
that
correct.
That would make people feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah, I think
because
so.
Because if it was this one, they can naturally see going through the drive out.
Right. I agree.
Any other questions for Mr. Reed?
Yes, I was just going to mention that I think you've covered it very well. I think that a lot of the concern is as people either are exiting from Woodway Elementary mm-hmm. and are going to start using that as a cut through. I mean, that's my worry a little bit, is that it becomes a thoroughfare going into and out of Woodway, that
like that parking area behind mm-hmm. the school.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe some signage.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is where I just really want to problem solve. Yeah. The other thing is, I wondered if our public safety department could be involved with making sure that people aren't using, because it's not legal to cut through, correct?
I know that Primrose had the same issue, and we were able to put a stop to that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. We were able
so,
to respond.
That's another helpful thing. Okay. I just want to make sure that everybody's concerns are addressed around this, but I also want to say we're very happy to have you.
Well, thank you.
Always like to do business.
Yeah. I agree. We don't want it as a cross through. We don't want people driving through to go, through the neighborhood if they can get out the proper way. But like I say, the way it's designed, there'd be low motivation to go that way, in my opinion. But if we need signage or whatever, I'll be glad to work with you, anyone, and we'll take care of that.
Okay.
I think the biggest temptation would be the school drivers.
Yeah.
Trying to find a way out of that line.
Sure.
And
getting out.
But I think it can be handled.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little discouragement
the signage
for a week or two, you don't cure it. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Now, you're planning to build the restaurant portion first.
Yes.
Now, on the other buildings, is this set in stone, the layout, or would they?
Well, the layout right now is set in stone. Could we try to revise sizes? Yeah. I mean, if someone wants a 12,000-foot building and we're not showing it, but we have room to do it, then we could combine or take away or whatever.
And right away, will you be doing the whole parking lot, or will you be doing...
How much of the parking lot are we doing?
Yeah, we're just doing this end of right now.
So, in reality, people will not be feeling this cut for a while.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of years away.
Okay.
And if there was a problem with cut-throughs, we can always put a couple of poles and a chain and just stop it. I would just need to be told that we need to do it, and I'd do that. So if that was something that might help. But again, later in the future, we need that as kind of a backdoor exit.
Well, I really appreciate your willingness to work with us on this and
help
continue to provide a good distinction between the residential and the commercial. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Reed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Council, if there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion on item 5. This is to approve the site development plan.
I move that we approve the site development plan.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item number 6 is discussion and consider action on the purchase and installation of a precast restroom facility at the Arboretum from CXT Incorporated through Sourcewell quote contract for an amount not to exceed $129,903 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion.
It's been moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, number 6, please.
Thank you. If it's okay, I'll turn this over to Mr. Nile. He has taken this project on since he came here, and we'll try to answer some of Mr. Hoffman's questions in his presentation. Adam?
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Can I come up here? Absolutely.
Try to address your question, sir. I'm going to go ahead and read the background that everybody has available so the audience can hear it.
Considering that restroom, I've conducted several site visits with Lindsay and Jack about the site selection and the placement. We've agreed on a spot that's in the it's in the corner of the children's play area. Children and parents currently are walking inside of Whitehall to use the restroom. Many times the children are wet from the splash pad area and creates a mess inside the building from grass and mud, etc., being tracked in. And at present, that's the closest and only viable option. This location we believe would best serve the citizens that use this outdoor area, and it is a viable location for making the required utility connections. This is the same model restroom we had installed at Lake Park 1. The model from CTX, they call it a Cortez. It's 10 feet, 3 inches by 17 feet. It has a separate male and female unit. Each side we've priced with a baby changing station or table in both of those as well. It's a budgeted capital outlay expenditure from the, quote, the Arboretum Outdoor Restrooms, which is 30829. The attached quote that council has from CTX, again, it's the Cortez model. It's priced at $109,903 with an additional expense for completing the water, sewer, and electric. Jack has estimated that to be between $15,000 to $20,000 in addition to that $109,000. So we have a total proposed expenditure of $129,903. After this was published and before our council meeting, there was an express, there was a concern maybe about the air conditioning, what would it cost to heat and cool the unit because of the humidity with the wetness coming in and out of it with the children. I don't have that in writing, but I have an email. CXT did respond to me, and they said there's a state law that's going to require them to insulate it. It's just precast concrete, so they're going to have to do something a little bit different. The price for that is $19,500 for each side. So that brings it to the doorstep of $170,000, which is $20,000 over the $150,000 we've allotted for that item. But council decision, we can make modifications as requested.
Bathrooms are expensive, huh?
Oh, yeah. You can get a house for $170,000.
Mm-hmm. What about air conditioning? You had mentioned that, but was that ever brought into getting a number for it? Is it necessary, or will the insulation take care of that?
Be honest, I don't know. I can try to get that answer for you. But when the concern about will it be heated, or really the concern was will it be cooled during the summer, that was the inquiry I made, and that was the figures that they gave me in return.
Now, this is similar to one in another one of the parks?
Yes, ma'am. It's this. Yeah, it's the same. Oh, there it is.
Is that air conditioned and heated?
Those are not. No, ma'am.
But there's no splash pad out there.
Yeah.
So
that makes a difference with the humidity, the moisture.
That's really all the information I have before you tonight. Again, any follow-up questions I can answer by email or phone call tomorrow, but
okay.
That's kind of what I've brought with me tonight.
I just want to make sure I understand it correctly. It's state law now, we have to have it insulated. Is that correct?
No, sir. Well, to add the heating or cooling element, that's where it triggers that. According to them, I have not researched that law, but that's what he quoted in his last email.
Pretty darn expensive insulation. Mm-hmm. For just a small space.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, is there any events on those? I'm trying to remember the one that we have. I don't remember any events in the bathroom.
No,
there are on the side, right?
Yeah. Are they on the side?
Those are closed.
Yeah.
Don't know if they open
them
up.
I don't know.
I believe there's an exhaust fan, but I don't know about.
Well, I was just wondering if the exhaust fan would take the humidity and, you know, maybe save the expense.
Well, I just learned for consideration, we don't have to do it, but if we wanted to just make one stall and make it male and female, that would cut down on the costs, just to have one bathroom instead of two.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Do you have any figures for that?
No, but we can ask him to go get it for us if we did it just one.
I mean, I know we have a safe community, but I'm just not a big fan of having one restroom that could have an issue. You know, you like the idea of having females go to females.
Yeah, just based on use, to this gentleman's point, there's a lot of traffic in there, but we
agree.
We don't have haven't had any complaints on the form and function of those units. That's why we thought
simple.
We would just copy
just trying
and paste.
To think of a way to make it a little bit cheaper. But okay.
Do we also have a life expectancy of this unit?
Not that I've read through, but it's concrete walls this thick. It's if there's a tornado coming, I'm going to jump in there.
You know, another aspect of having one or two, with that being at the splash pad, potentially the people will stay in them longer if they're changing clothes or if they're wet than normal. So there would be benefit in having the two, if at all possible.
I agree.
Ask them to make the ceilings a lot taller, a lot higher.
I think they're precast.
They come precast.
It's precast. Change the height.
And change the dollar
value. You go way up high, if you go 12 and 15 foot,
yeah.
It doesn't even get hot by the end of the day.
Mr. Nylett, what do you think about just so we all know, can you talk a little bit about what hot money is and where the funds are coming? Just so we can address that question.
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you, Mayor. So hotel occupancy funds, there's really like 7 criteria that you can spend those funds on. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe all of the Arboretum and Pavilion runs off of those funds. Yes, sir. So that's where we plan to utilize some of those funds to make it easier on the parents that are out there and to cut down on the foot traffic from children in the Whitehall building.
That's great. So that comes from sales tax, from visitors coming to stay in our hotels?
Yes, sir.
Tourism, that's what,
yes.
Great.
Not from our regular tax
bill. Not from our regular tax bill. I just wanted to be clear on
that. Correct. Yes, sir. I should have clarified that.
So we need to decide if we want to. It sounds like we want to go with the precast two restrooms. We just have to decide if we want AC or not for that additional cost.
I would say if we have the vents in the back.
Hold on a
minute.
Yes.
Correct. It's not posted.
Yeah, you're correct, I think. So we can't talk about AC right now. Or insulation, just whether or not we want to go with this.
Okay. Well,
right. Since that question came up, I just wanted to make sure everybody was on the same page. You all had the same additional information that wasn't in print yet.
So, can you bring us back a quote, a solid quote for air conditioning, if we approve this precast model, like the whole cost?
Yes, just full disclosure, they're already talking about the units going up in price, and the lead time, I think, is 6 or 7 months.
Oh, wow.
So to get it done within this budget year, it's going to be close.
So we can't even talk about air conditionings right now?
It just depends on which way you want to go with it, sir.
If we talk about air conditioning, we put it on the future agendas.
And we have a 6 to 8 month lead time.
Yeah.
What do y'all want to do?
Can we do it? Can we approve this piece of it without the air conditioning so that we can move ahead on a time frame and not?
That would allow us to hold our place in line and get the unit ordered. And then it could be a change order. We could modify it from there. But that would at least allow administration to get the ball rolling on the purchase.
That's much better.
What do you need, a motion?
Yeah, let's do a motion.
I move that we accept the restroom facility. Okay. I move that we authorize expenditure in the amount of $129,903 to CXT Incorporated for the purchase and installation of the restroom facility at the Arboretum and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Thank you all. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all. Item number 7 is City Manager's Report. Mr. Manager, do you have any reports for us?
No report, sir.
Thank you. Number 8 is the City Council Reports. Council, do we have any? You can also wait till the next meeting.
Wait till the next meeting.
All righty. Item number 9 is consider action on adjournment for meeting number 1.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
It's been moved. All in favor, please say aye.
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 The ayes have it, and we are adjourned at 6:15. Moving on to meeting number 2. This is the Woodway City Council meeting right at 6:15. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, you planned it perfect.
That's amazing. Thank you. You guys are welcome. That took skill. Okay, we are opening the Woodway City Council meeting at 6:15. This is meeting number 2. We're going to jump right into the public comments. The City Council, just as a reminder, the City Council invites citizens to address the Council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. And again, as a reminder, your timer will be on the screen here. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that is not listed on the agenda. When called to speak, please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state the item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your cooperation. I'll now open the public comments. Would anybody like to address council at this time? Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. Sorry for the interruption earlier. I was just a little confused.
No problem.
My name is John. Last name is Fellinger. That's spelled F with a J, E-L-L-A-N-G-E-R. A lot of folks have difficulty with Norwegian names. And that Scandinavian background, it throws people. I am living at right now at 9408 Red River Drive, zip code 76712, just a stone's throw to the west of here. I'm a retired IBM employee of 30 years, primarily in engineering and project management background. I've been participating some in the volleys, a little bit in the social media platform next door. I want to thank the city council for entertaining a look at increasing the ability to, I would say, integrate bicycling and walking into your life. I can see on the two roadways, Bosque and Estates, and I know we're talking about Estates, but both of those, from a bicycler's perspective, are a death wish. So for people that say they never see a bicycler or a walker on those roads, as a person who has ridden over 4,000 miles in one season, I can see why. I will not go on those roads. It would be my objective to be able to get from point A to point B, where that means I want to run an errand, I want to go to HEB, I want to go to Walgreens, that I can get there from where I live. Presently, I cannot do that. There is no way to do that. So I applaud the efforts to try to increase our ability to move around with bicycling and walking. If I had to cast a vote, given the options that David has put out there so far, I would vote for option E. And I understand and I appreciate the concerns of everybody that, you know, has concerns about going on Estates. I would ask that we could tie these efforts back to the Woodway Forward project and explicitly know where we tie to that, and then also explicitly document the goals and objectives of putting in any bike paths so we can measure whether or not we have succeeded. It appears to me as that we might be opening up.
Thank you, Mr. Fellinger.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else at this time? Yes, sir.
Hello, Council. My name is Richard Moore. I live at 8201 Forest Ridge Drive, Woodway. And I just want to reiterate my agreement with the previous gentleman in terms of the consideration of a bicycle or a pedestrian path, because although I have I've owned this property since 1974. I've been away for a while, but I've come back, and it's gotten much busier since I've been back, and I see the challenges that everybody faces. So I recognize the problems with trying to integrate the transportation and pedestrian movements. Now, I travel on that road on estates typically once to twice a day going back and forth to HEB, Walmart, and I have yet to see any bicyclists or walkers on the road for the very reason that this gentleman explained, because it's a dangerous place to be, and anybody in their right mind wouldn't do it. So at the same time, I think that the proposal to have a single lane of traffic going each direction with the middle lane is not going to be a very functional solution, only because of the high traffic periods with the schools. And I've traveled many a time where if it wasn't for that left lane of traffic being able to move, there would be no movement whatsoever. So I understand the challenges with that. So I think the very first commenter on this issue brought up the consideration of at least going towards a little bit of investigation with the homeowners along estates to see what they would say for an easement. I personally would welcome a sidewalk on my house, and I don't live on a busy street, because I do like to get out and walk or ride my bike. And throughout Woodway, it's a problem, because there are very few safe places to be. You have to walk your dog standing in the street where traffic is. You have to ride your bike in the same locations. Those bikes are supposed to be in the street. But we have a lot of walkers in our neighborhood, and fortunately, it's not very high traffic, but along estates, it's a different story. So they may welcome that as an idea. I want to thank you for bringing this up and having me the opportunity to voice my opinion. But I don't think there's going to be a functional solution with the proposal of one lane in each direction and then a center lane. I think that's a fool's errand. But thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? We got a lot of hands. Yes, ma'am. A lot of hands.
My name is Rachel Velasco. I live on Bel Air Drive, and I'm the parent of four very active and avid cyclists. My oldest daughter has off in college now, but three of my teenagers are here with me tonight as part of a growing group of cyclists that are coming up in junior high and high school right here in our community. And as it's been mentioned, they often have difficulty getting from home to places that they can ride safely. And any bike lane that gets put in, I can guarantee you, will be utilized by at least three teenagers in this community on a daily basis, actually. And so every step that the council takes to make Woodway safe for cyclists and encourage people to be out on their bikes is only going to be a net positive for the youth that are growing up in this community. They're already excited about being on their bikes. It's a great way for them to stay healthy and active, and it's a great way for them to see that their community supports them as they're growing up with these healthy lifestyles. I think that's what we'd all like to see for the kids and youth in our community, and so I applaud the council for taking steps forward to increase access. And by adding these bike lanes, that's only going to improve and increase the amount of cyclists that you see. You don't see them now because, like everyone has said, it isn't safe. And as a parent, I can't let my children cycle from my home to get to their mountain bike practice at Woodway Park. that's what they would prefer to do. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for giving us this opportunity as parents to come forward and say, we really want our community to be safe for our kids. And right now, it isn't as cyclists. I've had a son who was basically run off the road by a car, broke his wrist, and he was cycling in a relatively safe residential area. So it's very dangerous for kids to be on bikes, and the more we can do to make it safe for them, I feel like that's our obligation as the city that we live in to make that accessible for them. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Yes, sir. We'll take you, and then we'll get you in the back. Thank you. Yes, sir. Maybe we get people to line up. Yes, sir.
My name is Bill Schwartz. I live on Broughton Drive, 435 Broughton Drive. I had some prepared things, but after some comments tonight, I'm going to wing it a little bit.
Okay.
when I saw the front page article on the changes to be made in the TRIB on the 27th, frankly, I was thrilled. I thought, man, that is a great idea. And I'm a little shocked that it's not a great idea for some folks. When I drive down Estates, I see four lanes, and to me, four lanes means a normal speed and a passing lane, okay? The speed limit's only 30 miles an hour anyway. Why do we need a passing lane? How safe is it for anyone, kids or anybody, to try to cross Estates on foot with four lanes of traffic trying to deal with, okay? So I read the traffic impact analysis. I'm assuming all of you folks did. I don't know how many of you folks have read it, but it is fascinating what they've come up with. Basically, by doing only one lane each way, they came up with the idea that there will be no shortage of time spent, no longer time spent getting from one end to the other. And the other thing that is came up in this analysis is how much safer that is to have that turn lane in the center instead of people in the passing lane trying to turn left into an intersection and having to deal with two lanes coming toward you. To me, this is all about safety. This isn't about getting from point A to point B 10 seconds sooner than the car behind you. I drive 30 miles an hour, except during the school lane, and I got dinged by one of our he let me off because I had two kids in the back seat. And those two kids says he was a lot nicer than the other guy that stopped my dad. Anyway, I encourage everyone to look at this, but I want to read something that was in the conclusion portion of this analysis. Oh, 32 seconds. I think I can do it. Based on the synchro models. Now, I'm not sure what a synchro model is, to be honest with you. There is little difference in the measures of effectiveness between existing four-lane and proposed three-lane roadway sections. I'm thinking measure of effectiveness has something to do with the efficiency and the flow, okay? And here's the key one. I've got 5 seconds. There are inherent safety advantages to separating stopped, slowed turning vehicles from vehicles going straight that are traveling at or near the posted speed limit.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We want unanimous, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Brett Swartz. I live at 1673 Cherry Creek. I wanted to second my uncle's opinion on traffic. I've got 7 kids in Midway. Actually, one's at Texas Tech. So I'm up and down this road a lot, probably too much. My business is right up the road as well. In the years I've done it, I've yet to see a scenario where we needed four lanes to handle the traffic that I've seen. The school situation is a situation that kind of by its on its own, it's its own issue that probably needs to be dealt with. I don't think it has, they're not the same issue. A different note would be that I live down here close to the lake. I think it's a wonderful place. We've got bike lanes on both sides, and there are people walking all day, every day, and it's really fun, you know, just to have that in the community. At first, I thought, well, you know, what good is this bike lane going to do for me? You know, I don't really want to ride up to Walgreens. I'm already going. But then I thought, you know, how great would it be for the rest of Woodway to be able to connect down to what we already have going and to be able to get down to the lake or the park and to access, you know, existing bicycle lanes that are already there. And I just think, you know, within months you're going to see a ton of usage. You know, people say they don't see it yet, but, you know, it's not the safest without having a bike lane. And I think once you have it, you're going to see people all day long walking, you know, strollers, dogs, you know, unicycles, you name it. You know, it's fun to watch. So anyways, that's my 2 cents.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Much appreciated. Yes, sir. We could just get your name and address, please, sir.
My name is Tom Brooks, and I live on Forest Ridge with about half the people in the room here, I think. So my wife and I moved here about 6 years ago, and we're excited, and it's been great. Absolutely love the city of Woodway. We're bikers, and we get our bikes out, and we're like, where are the bike paths at? They don't exist. Okay, well, we'll ride on the sidewalks. Where are the sidewalks at? Not in too many neighborhoods at all. And someone just mentioned here, as you're going down to the lake, we just get this freedom because there's the two lanes there, and all of a sudden we can relax a little bit and not worry about it. I see it more as a safety thing, and able to get out and do a few things. And what happens 2 days a week, we load our bikes up and leave Woodway and go somewhere else to bike, which is fine. But I love the city. I love riding around. I would love to stay here, but we always go somewhere else to ride just because it's safer. And then I think there's something, it's called poetic justice. So I knew I wanted to come up here and say something. And on Saturday, I did like I always do. I loaded up my bike and I went somewhere else, got hit by a car. And that was because we were sharing lanes that weren't marked. It was a different part of Waco. They turned over and just hit my leg. My bike is fine. So that's what I'm talking about. But it really is I want to stay in Woodway. I can just think of those lanes going down the lake, and as soon as we get to them, it's like a whole different atmosphere just because we can enjoy our ride. And we get around it. And I agree, if you are a biker, you would never ride a bike down Estates. And as a walker, if my wife wanted to walk down Estates, I'd ask her to walk alone. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Appreciate your comment.
Okay. The guy, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry about that. I'm sorry if I missed you.
No problem. My name is Matthew Story, 8725 Wren Drive, right off here off Gladedale. It's not possible for me to actually get to Woodway Park without driving on either Estates Drive or going with the busier road. I moved here 3 years ago. I'm not a native Texan. I came from Reno, considers itself a bike-friendly community. We did this on Mayberry Drive. We turned four lanes into two lanes and put a turn lane in and put a bike lane on either side. Same arguments were made that it doesn't work. It'll be too crowded. It actually worked fine. And it allowed kids to ride to school. As a biker, I want to promote people being able to ride, especially children. Get them out. We could actually reduce the amount of traffic going into the school if we allowed kids and had a safe way for them to bike there. That's all I got. Keep it short and sweet.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Welcome to Woodway, sir. All right. We'll go over here. Yes, sir. And then you're next. You're next over here. And then you're next over there. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. My name is Mark Remsen. I'm on 133 Estates Drive, property owner there. All I can do is echo the statements I've heard. I bicycle around the world. I do about 6,000 miles a year. And since retirement 3 years ago, I've done 24,000 miles.
Wow. Okay?
There's importance to have a safe place to ride. I mean, some of the rides my wife and I have done, we've been run off the road. We've been nearly clipped. A smaller road, you ride out more towards the middle because there's so much junk on the side of the road. You go through a lot of expensive tires. Okay, we've had people turn in front of us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Having an interconnected ability in this community so we get from point A to point B safely will encourage us to do more. I will ride the roads, but I'll do it at 4:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. Put lights on and go it that way, or I'll avoid it. Like the gentleman before me says, we'll drive somewhere to go make that ride. Harris Creek is a very busy spot for the bicycles. I'm part of the bicycle club, Waco Bicycle Club, 325 members of the bike club. Okay? We want to promote safe bicycling in the organization. Okay? My job, like the gentleman, the IBM gentleman, I've been around the world, spent 8 years in Amsterdam, Netherlands area. They know what to do. Okay, 80 to 90% of people that are bicycle. I've been passed by 95-year-old women on e-bikes. Okay, it's incredible. Okay, they know what to do. Okay, we need a good plan. We need safety. You build it, people will use it. I am scared to see people walking on State Drive with dogs. Okay, There's no room. There's absolutely no room. And people are not going to slow down and move over. They're going to tail that person until they can push that person off the road and drive on past them. I've seen it time and time again. It's happened to me. Okay? So the important thing is you build a bike lane, clean it, make sure there's a way to keep it clean. Okay? Because if it's not clean, I won't use it because I can't afford $110 tires. Okay? Or glass or pieces of rubber, et cetera, et cetera. So it's got to come with a safety issue, but it's got to come with maintenance that goes with it. Okay? So again, I fully support this. I see a lot of people I know in this room from the bike club fully support this. I think it's very important. You start now and continue to expand it, make it work. Okay, so we have a connected neighborhood. I want to be able to ride to HEB. I want to be able to ride up to new restaurants that the new builders planning on putting in because it's a way to get out and exercise. That's what I do in retirement. Okay? It's important that this takes place.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. All right. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Stephen Carl. I live at 9009 Buckingham Court, just a couple streets down behind the Arboretum. Lots of good arguments for why we need to put this bike lane in and walking lane in. I'm here to let you know my children's opinions. Since we've lived here in Woodway for 7 years, but since moving from closer to 84, where we lived for 5 years, to now living close to the lake for the past 2 years, routinely my children are asking to ride their bikes to school, and they can't. And I keep having to tell them no. 11-year-old Lucas is now in middle school. He's lost his opportunity to ride his bike to school, but I still have 3 children that go to Woodway Elementary School, and I'd like to ride my bike with them to school. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
It's Curtis Soto, Bryce Drive. I'm all for the bike lane. What I want to really emphasize is the center turn lane. That's what I'm most excited about, having teenage drivers. I think that will make estates significantly safer. And so I like the idea of a bike lane so I can do what everybody else has been supporting, but also from a safety standpoint of turning left, even going 30 miles an hour when someone hits the brakes, it can be pretty unsettling, especially for young drivers. And I travel up Bosque a lot, and so I'm going down to States regularly on a daily basis, and having a dedicated turn lane from Woodway Elementary all the way down to Bosque, I think would be a significant improvement for the safety of our community and for the drivers. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I saw a hand go. Yes, ma'am. We'll do you, and then yes, sir. We got you. I'm so sorry. Did you were you waiting to go earlier?
In the purple.
Oh yeah, eventually.
Okay. Mayor, we'll have you, and then we'll go to the back, and then we'll go to you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Jane Kittner, 275 Broughton Drive, Woodway. Excuse me. I think I've lost my voice again. I've lived in Woodway for 32 years. And for 31 of those years, I've either been on PNC or council. For about 20 of those years, we have struggled with a way to deal with strollers and bikes and pedestrians on basically our main thoroughfare. We have the city center, we have the Arboretum, we have the school, and then we have a lot of our businesses. I've seen strollers on estates. I still have nightmares about that. It's time to do this, guys. I really commend the city staff and the council for presenting such an elegant solution to this problem. It means that residents that want to get to the bird streets or the tree streets, they can carefully pull into the left turn lane and not worry about being rear-ended. If you don't really have two lanes either way, because there's a lot of people that turn off. It's more of a neighborhood street than it is a thoroughfare. So you have a turn lane, you have two turn lanes and two driving lanes, but the turn lanes are not safe because people drive in them. So this is such a beautiful solution, and we have a lot more cyclists now, too. I think that if you build it, they will come.
Thank you, man. That was Field of Dreams. Yes, sir. I thought it was a legal fair at first, but it's Field of Dreams. Yes, sir.
Hey, guys. Brady Gibson, 331 Rainbow Drive, part of that Rainbow Lake Outlaw group. Don't hold that against me. I actually ride a state's drive several times a week, so I guess I might not be of sound mind. It is a hair-raising experience. Coming down, I'm moving about the same speed as traffic, so it's not a problem. I also have a kid that's a cyclist with these other guys back here. We have about 30 kids in the Heart of Texas Junior. We have about 30 kids every Monday night down at the Heart of the Woodway Park, the Heart of Texas Junior Cycling Team. And a fraction of those people come from Woodway. Some of them come from Hewitt. I had someone tell me the other day, she drives and parks at the Arboretum often and then gets on the bike lane and drives down to the park. So this will allow a certain, and she said if this goes through, she will park at CVS and just ride down. We have nearly everyone that goes to Woodway Elementary is within 2 miles of the school. If a fraction of those people start walking their kids and biking to school, that's going to eliminate more traffic. This has the potential, I think, to actually change the flow of that road even more than the study said. So thank you guys for considering this. We have a lot of kids in the community now that will benefit. I will benefit. And it will connect our community together without having to get into a car. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, when you're ready.
Hi, I'm Jean Suri. I live at 7717 East Fairway. While I do not have strong feelings about the changes to a state's drive, I think it sounds like a great idea. But I am frustrated that this item was brought back to the council to reconsider after unanimous decision was made at the last meeting. You all made a decision based on solid data from third-party professionals, which I imagine cost quite a bit of money. Has the data changed since the item was unanimously approved on November 13th? I encourage you as leaders to stick to your convictions and make decisions based on data rather than being swayed by opinions, especially on social media. Social media does have its merits, but it should never be used as a forum for conducting city business. As our representatives, I implore you to lead our city with courage and conviction. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Anybody else to address council? Yes, sir. Somebody else? Oh, okay, great. You got you next. Thank you.
Hello. Yes, sir. Zach Beck, 624 Falcon Drive. On behalf of myself and my wife, since she couldn't make it. I think what I hear around the room is safety and accessibility. That's kind of the goal. I kind of have a different opinion on how that may come about, because the beginning comment of estates being a death trap, kind of feel like it might be that way even with a bike lane. I personally would not let my kids on estates, even with a bike lane. I think the sidewalk idea is brilliant. If we could extend it, get to the streets, to the neighborhoods, even put poles along the way, that's much safer in my opinion. Obviously, biking seems to be increasing, but driving I don't think is decreasing. And so I don't foresee the cars going down or decreasing. Traffic being the same. And then when it comes to the traffic study itself, as I read it, I know it's been said it's they're professionals, they know what they're doing, and I would agree, except some things to highlight. I want to say it was 2-hour segments that were blown up to extend and project what really happens. To me, if I read any study, If you ask what detergent people buy and you look at a two-hour time block, maybe the moms, the dads, the whoever do laundry don't come during that two-hour timeline. It's not fully accurate. So I think right now no one has to fully stop or slow down going right or left. The left lane would definitely help the left-turning drivers, but would significantly bring to a stop anybody who's turning right. Let's see. The merging process to me seems like a huge barrier. If I look at where it would go down to those two lanes, there's short blocks. There's really short segments of distance to bring that together. So to me, that seems like a hard, practical thing to overcome if we're going to change the lanes. Let's see. I think that just when it comes down to it, I would just bring it back to let's definitely do the safest and the best thing for the community. I don't want to limit transportation at all, but I do think bike lane on estates. Oh, I guess my last thought is I have 5 kids, 4 of them are boys. I could see them starting at the top, going just speeding up continual. Like, I could see kids hurting themselves, honestly, if we have a bike lane downhill on the right-hand side and then uphill. Maybe the cyclists would.
Thank you, Mr. Beck.
Thank
you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Barbara Grandy, 2024 Estates Drive. I just want to share some observations that I have seen. I live on Estates Drive by the bike lanes. And every morning, there are joggers, there are walkers with dogs, and it's just a very active participation going on down there. After school, there are kids out on their bikes or on their scooters. And there's also, at times, I see junior high kids doing track. I mean, the coaches must bring them down somehow. I don't know how they do it. I guess they run from Midway down there. I don't know. But it's just very active. And I commend you all for wanting to improve more of Woodway so that we can be out and be active and move around. So thank you all. You do a great job.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Walk up.
Sandy Remsen, Estates Drive. I'm a property owner on Estates Drive, but I'm not in the impacted area. As a bike rider also that's coming close to 4,000 miles this year, I welcome the idea of having a bike lane more accessible to more of the public. I've spent a lot of time, my husband spoke earlier, spent a lot of time in the Netherlands. I know how important bike lanes are and how well used they can be. At this point, Estates Drive is a death trap. There's no shoulder, just a high curb in a lot of areas. You need to separate bikes from the cars to make it safer for everyone. I would love the idea of being able to bike to HEB, bike to Walmart, go to the pharmacy, to the restaurants, and use my bike. At this point, I'd feel much more hesitant. We do bike ride out of there, but we take the side streets in a circuitous manner. Do you ever take a hand poll of the participants here in the audience, whether who would be favorable for this idea and who wouldn't? It'd be quicker just to everybody raise their hands that is in favor for this. Please raise your hand. I don't know how much time you allot to public input at this point, but just having a hand poll is an easy way of figuring out that there is a good majority of people that are for this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right, do we have? Yes, sir. And then we'll get to you, Mr. Hoffman.
No, I want to change the subject.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Raise your hand.
No problem. Hi, my name is Rick Hoke. I live at 9011 Lark Drive, right on the corner of Lark and Estates. I started the the thread that was on next door, because I'd heard about the lanes coming in through the newspaper. That was the first time I'd heard about it. I appreciate the mayor sending me an email and also Story sending me a response to my emails. I'm going to be impacted in personally every day by the change in the lanes. My driveway backs out onto Estates, and I have to back my cars up. Otherwise, I have to turn them and back them in order to go out forward. Mm-hmm. Currently, at the times that you guys did your analysis, it takes me now sometimes 5 minutes to get out of my driveway, waiting for traffic break so that I can safely back out. And then sometimes I can't go the direction I even want to go. I have to go another way and make a U-turn and go back, which is, again, difficult because of the traffic. I read, you gave me a link that took me to your impact analysis. And I went through it, I read it, it's 87 pages. And I looked at it, and the capacity right now, they estimate for having four lanes is 1,650 cars per hour. The cars they counted in the morning, 696. These are during your hours that you guys check the traffic. And in the evening, 771. If we cut that capacitance in half, we drop down to 825 cars per hour that will be able to, that's before you hit capacity on Estates, basically traffic stops. That will put us at almost at 80 to 90% of the capacity of Estates Lane while we're still building homes down the street here, which I'm not sure how many they're going to be there, but let's say it's 100 houses, two cars a house. You're going to be putting another, 100 plus cars on the road, maybe 200 cars on the road, and they're going to be using this. So it won't be very long before it'll be deadlocked. It's almost that way now in the mornings by the school near the crosswalk, where you intend to funnel the cars down now to one lane. So they'll be backing. They've already backed down. I sent a picture. They've already backed down a couple of side streets on Estates. My wife has to take my daughter to high school up to Midway, so she has to sit in it every morning. I have to sit in it every morning when I go to work. Everybody's been talking about concerns as far as traffic accidents, safety. This thing took 6 years. I'm sorry. For 6 years, there was one accident, left-hand turn, one accident.
Thank you, Mr. Hoke. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Mr. Hoffman, I apologize. You were next.
No.
Sorry. It's hard to keep track. So sorry. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Go ahead.
I'm Sandra Corns. I live at 9615 Bryce. I've been here for 40 years, and I've also been riding my bicycle for 40 years. And I'm a member of the Waco Bicycle Club 3 years. Through the years, I have often ridden 3,000 to 8,000 miles a year. I appreciate y'all wanting to do something to help with connections with bicycles and bicycle lanes and walkers. And I feel Estates is too narrow at this time for this project. Can Estates be widened? If it was widened, I think this would work. The part they're talking about from Bosque down to the lake is much wider than it is here. And the city is not going to maintain the bike lanes. That's been proven when there was a bike lane up the access road on 84 for years, and they never maintained it. Our tires cost anywhere from $90 to $110 up. And I don't want to ruin a tire just by riding in trashy lanes because it's not maintained. Excuse me. Back when we used to ride on Bosque and we used to ride across the Twin Bridges, nobody would ride on Estates. We just wouldn't do it. And I would love to see that if the lanes could be widened, if Estates could be widened so it'd be safer for the riders. I feel like this is going to further frustrate the drivers, especially during school hours and also rush hours. And as the gentleman was just speaking, the people that live on Estates are going to have a really hard time getting in and out of their driveways. If this project can't be done now, I think the dollars could be better spent for the family center and having something for the seniors. And I'd like to say that I didn't stand up quickly enough about the Jordan Drive discussion, but the drive he's talking about to go on to Bryce, there was one there for years, and it was closed off for a reason. And when that was for the safety of the school, that was closed off when the school was put there. That's all I said. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, ma'am. Appreciate that. Thank you for your comments. Okay. Anybody else on the bike lane? All right. Mr. Hoffman, you've got it. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Norm Hoffman, Western Oaks.
Yes, sir.
Let me comment on 6C, Sean, okay? May I comment on the new picnic tables that replace those that we're going to dispose of on 6C? I questioned the budget request this year for the funds for those new tables at $25,000. Well, the new tables are wonderful. They're the best. Superior in quality to the old table by far. Heavy to ensure durability and will last a long time. They are a commercial type of product. Question, probably to Adam, will a square table and the sitting bench at Pogue Park also be replaced with like products this fiscal year? Great selection by the staff, and I appreciate it. I missed the meeting last time and was surprised at the action of the bike lanes proposal being approved at the previous meeting. I consider myself a Woodway citizen that has self-educated himself on what's happening in Woodway for this past year. Surprise, surprise to me when I read the newspaper. I'm glad we're having more discussion on the action tonight because we as citizens don't have access to the information that your black binder again holds and some of the decisions that are made. I only see three or four lines on the public notice of meeting section before the meeting. And if we have any comments, we have to make them before you guys discuss and we learn the information that we need to know to reasonably make a comment concerning it. It's hard to make an educated comment under those circumstances. That being said, I don't care which way the bike lanes go.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Hoffman. Is that it? Anybody else? All right, thank you all so much for your comments. Very, very much appreciated. Thank you. We'll close the public comment time now at 6:59. All right, item number two is discussion and consider action on terminating, for convenience, the task order with MRB Group to provide professional services in connection with the Estates Drive and Fairway Road Bicycle and Pedestrian Connections Project, and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, item number two, please.
Thank you. Ms. Barclay, can you go to slide 17, I think? 17. Okay, this is basically the impacted area of the bike lane that the MRB will be considering. It really runs from Fairway to Midway. The point from Midway to 84 will not be changed. It will be left as it's currently in existence. Secondly, nothing to do with this discussion, but it does impact the project. We are currently working as an award with TxDOT on sidewalks from Midway down Estates to address people walking their children to school or outdoor activities after that. And it goes somewhat down Midway, addressing the school property there too. So that's a that's being addressed too. But for tonight's discussion, we were asked to put this back on the agenda. We have Solomon Thomas here with MRB and Larry Larry, thank you. I'm sorry for not getting it right. Larry was the Larry was the traffic engineer that did the study for us originally. So we're thankful that they came back tonight for any questions or concerns that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Council, would you like the traffic engineer up here or the MRB group for questions? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
All right, sir. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was first going to say I've spent a lot of time with your report, and it's wonderful. I just appreciate the depth that you went into, and I know that you were providing an objective analysis. What I took from it is that estates moving from this four-lane configuration to the three-lane configuration would actually make it safer for not only the cyclists and pedestrians, but also for the drivers. And is that correct?
Well, there's different ways to look at the data and stuff.
Well, that's how I read the data. Sorry.
I can just kind of go through this briefly. I'm really impressed with the number of people that have actually read my report and stuff. There may be a few here that can tell you better than I could, since I did this about a year ago, and so I may be a little rusty. But we did go out to six intersections, seven intersections, Midway Drive, Oakdale, Gladedale, Lark, Whippoorwill, Fairway, and Bosque Boulevard. And kind of address one comment that was made about the two-hour selection. At Estates and Bosque, we also did a signal warrant analysis, which we did traffic counts for, I believe it was 13 hours, it's typical, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you're in a signal warrant analysis, you're looking at the eight highest hours. So we're assuming that the eight highest hours fall somewhere in that 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. They're not at 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning and that type thing. And that's the data that we gathered from that did confirm that the a.m. peak falls between 6 and 8 a.m. and the p.m. peak is between 4 and 6 p.m. A little concerned that maybe we didn't quite catch the school, but the 5 o'clock, whatever is the was the peak time. And what we do is we find the peak 15-minute period of the peak hour, and then we do the hourly analysis based on that. So if you had a peak hour, and I'm just kind of drawing a graph with my hands, but the first 15 minutes was kind of low, and then the next 15's high, and the next 15's high, and the next 15 comes down, we take that highest 15-minute period times 4 to make it the analysis during that full time. So we're what we get as a level of service and an analysis and is probably a little what you'd actually see in the field would probably be a little less than what we see. But that's the way that analysis are done on this. We did do the 3 and the 4-lane section. Somebody mentioned measures of effectiveness, and measures of effectiveness are things like delay. We definitely look at delay. We look at queue lengths, how far vehicles are backed up. And in the report, I don't have it here, but table 2 kind of shows what the level of service analysis was for the 4-lane versus the 3-lane in the morning and what it was in the afternoon. And what it showed is with 3-lane section, the delay slightly higher. It's 3 to 4 to 5 seconds greater for each of those intersections in the 3-lane section. And in the afternoon, it's similar to that. But the overall level of service and let me kind of define level of service. It's very similar to your school grades. A is really great. F's not too good. Level of service at E says you're at full capacity. If you have more than full capacity, you're an F. So that's the way that works. The level of services primarily in the B and C range stuff, and level of service is based off of delay at two-way intersection or stopped at intersections. So, you know, it didn't clearly come out and say capacity is going to be terrible if we go to three lanes, or it's not a whole lot better if you do four lanes. The delay is on the side streets, and they're comparable. They're going to be a little bit greater if you go to a three-lane section. There was another comment about the roadway level of service, and the gentleman had mentioned by the highway capacity manual, which is like the Bible for traffic engineers, one of the Bibles, but it defines level of service and delay and for anything from city streets, signalized intersections, the freeway, ramps on the freeway, you name it, there's sections in there that talk about it. This manual is generated from research institutions all over the country. They meet together with the Federal Highway Administration. There's a lot of input and data collected to come up with what's in the highway capacity manual. But this roadway is considered a minor arterial, and that's a functional classification, and for state and federal projects, it means if you're a freeway, you get a whole lot of funding to keep those going. Minor arterials, not so much. So if you've been on any of the Metropolitan Planning Organization meetings and stuff, that's what they look at a lot, is the functional classification and helping to decide what roadways to do. The level of service showed primarily in the four-lane section, or what's four lanes now, pretty much operates at a level service of A during the peak hours. So, again, that's taking the highest 15 minutes in each of those 2 hours and multiplying that by four to come up with the traffic volumes you see here, and that's what you get. So pedestrians and bicycles, we did do some counts along with the turning movement counts at each of the intersections. There's a quick little table in there that shows the number that we got at each intersection, and it's during that full 2 hour time period, and basically as you can see, there's at Estates and Bosque there was 3 to 5 PEDs, and at Estates at Midway in the morning there were a bunch of PEDs for the school crossing and stuff. We did pull crash data. The crash data showed a total of 27 crashes at the 7 intersections that we studied combined, and that was over a 6-year period. You do a little math, that's about a half a crash per intersection per year. So it's not real great. Some may then come say that the left turn lane would make it safer. It's not too bad right now, so you could make an argument either way. I guess that's mainly the things that we looked at as a part of that. We also did a signal warrant analysis for Highway, or not Highway 6, but Bosque and Estates Drive, and it came back and showed that it does not meet the minimum warrants. A signal warrant, there's 9 different warrants. You only have to meet one, but you do have to meet at least one before a traffic signal can be considered. Doesn't mean that if you meet a warrant, that one should go in. It just is a beginning point. If it meets the warrants, do a little additional study, make a determination whether or not that would be the beneficial, the right thing to do.
Okay.
So, great.
Thank you, Larry. Are there any questions for Larry? No?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I have a question, but I'm not sure who it's for.
Sorry.
You're like him. I really would like to know how the homes that are facing Estates will be impacted, and how when they, the things that I've heard from those individuals, like Mr. Hoke, are how when there is a delivery, mail, those kinds of things. I feel like it could be a solvable problem, but I would love to hear how that would be addressed.
Sure. So, I mean, if you're asking the question about the impact of delays, I would defer to Larry. But if you're I'm asking about how would we functionally make that striping
yes,
work.
Yes, functionally.
Okay. So functionally, we would leave gaps within the bollards or the, you know, delineation in order for that person to have plenty of room, and we would use sight triangles to ensure that they're not being obstructed, to ensure that they can see to get in and out.
I think there's only one home that, if I'm, I could be wrong, but I think there's only one home in that stretch that is on the side with the bike lane. There's like 7 or 8 in between Midway and Fairway on the other side. I'm more wondering right. about those.
So, right, the ones, and that's what I was referring to, the ones okay. on the side with the bike lanes, you know, when you have the bike lane there, basically you would give a gap large enough for them, to get out and safely see to do that.
Okay, there's only one home on that side, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I think there was two.
That's right.
But, or okay. with your, I don't know.
Sure.
On the other side, is it the same?
So they wouldn't be impacted by sight distances. Now, if you're asking, would they would only have one lane on that side
right,
at that
right,
point.
Right.
So it would be coming in and out of that lane of traffic.
Okay.
You wouldn't have two lanes to move to maneuver within.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm answering
well,
your question.
Well, no, you're good. Okay. What I'm specifically wondering is if, say, they have an Amazon delivery, which happens at my house, too often. How, where would the truck go in order to deliver the packages to those homes on Estates? If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
I think I understand your question.
Oh, somewhere in front of the house.
I mean, I think any delivery on the street, that delivery person has to find a safe place for it.
Okay. Well,
whereas, you know, they probably shouldn't be stopping in the lane of traffic on a minor arterial. I understand what you're saying. There's some that's the only way for them to get there. We would not be doing something to give them a place to pull off within the limits of what we've been given to fit our work within.
Okay.
I think delivery truck drivers usually pull in the turn lanes and try to get out of there as quickly
okay.
as possible.
Is that what that, do you think that would be the same for, I'm just trying to think of all the things. Because I said that I would ask.
Okay.
The trash bins and, you know, there's just all of those sorts of issues. All right, where does Mr. Hope go? I don't see him anymore. I don't see him.
Yeah, trash service.
Yeah, just any
deliveries.
Of those things. I just want to make sure that the people on Estates, and I will show my cards. I am very...
Sure.
pro this project, and mm-hmm. I feel like any of the problems are solvable. I just want to help get to what those solutions are, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I guess for trash delivery, do y'all allow them to put it in the streets on Estates right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think they put them in driveways.
Driveways.
Yeah.
Okay. Driveways.
So then I would think that
yeah,
wouldn't change. I mean, obviously,
okay.
as a trash vehicle stop to you know, collect the
that would be
garbage
the issue.
That they would be in that lane for that period of time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would just be twice a week. Slow down.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were thinking through that and talking through that, because my next question is how to address the school, which I believe is a separate issue from this. I think somebody else had mentioned that. And I just want to state for the record that we're willing to coordinate and collaborate with Woodway Elementary to address the traffic patterns there to help address that if it does go.
But the lanes aren't changing.
The lanes aren't changing.
No, the lanes are not changing. I think the concern is that when people are lining up for drop for pickup in the afternoon, that the line does go past.
It extends past Midway.
Yes, at times. And so I think that, again, I think that that is a...
Are you saying past Midway toward...
Like Acorn and, towards... Yeah. But, again, I think that's a solvable problem.
You usually said wrap around with elementary.
Preferably, that would be the way it is.
That's where... I drive that road all the time, and I drive it during various times of the day, and and I drove it the other day just kind of trying to see this, and I'm like, I don't see that traffic backing up beyond the school where Midway is. I don't see that traffic backing up along Estates Drive. I see it backing up along the side streets, but I don't see it backing up along Estates Drive.
Well, I know it's not ours anyway to do.
You're not there at the right time. No,
hang on, guys. Hang on. So sorry. So sorry. We're not going to do this. All right? We're not going to have outbursts. Please finish your question. Finish your comments. So we
I'm done. I'm just saying, and maybe I am going at the wrong time. I tried to go over there at different times of the day because my job allows me to do that. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't seen a huge backup, let's put it that way, along Estates Drive. Now, I have seen on the side streets the backup. I have seen that. But I'm talking about Estates Drive itself. I haven't seen that huge traffic backup like people are saying. Mm-hmm. So if I'm missing that, and I'm traveling in that 2:30 to 4:30 window, so I don't know what other window there is. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just not seeing it.
John, I was there today at 3, and it was backed up from the school to 84. Right in
I'm
the
not
back.
Talking about that direction.
Direction.
That direction is okay because people, when they back up, they're in that turn lane.
Mm-hmm.
They're in that turn
they're
lane.
In the
they're
turn
not,
lane
they're
exactly.
not in the two lanes on either side.
And it won't
and
be
the
changing.
Other way, they went right to the first street. I don't know what
that's
that first
what
street
saying.
Is.
But then they,
and they can turn around that, turn on that street.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. When you're coming from Bosque toward 84, that would be the area that I would suspect would be rife for backing up traffic, but I don't see that there. I do see traffic backing up on the opposite side, and then maybe it will affect the people who are trying to go into CVS and Walgreens, because they are lined up in that middle lane there. But if you look at the two lanes, I'm never getting stopped either direction. I'm not
so
stopped.
Let me just...
I just want to acknowledge that that's not our problem to solve. Right, I'm looking at Jonathan, sorry, as a school board member. That's not our problem to solve.
Exactly.
But I do want to collaborate and acknowledge that it is an issue and it could potentially,
So let me just add, because this is a valid concern, Can we, Mr. Manager, can we, as a city, work with the schools to come up with a solution for a better pickup system right around there as opposed to traffic, as it concerns traffic?
We'll visit with them.
Okay.
We'll get with the chief and their traffic people. And
Can you help us with that? Thank you. Great. One last thing. Sorry, Mr. One last thing. Highway 84, the access road. That's a TxDOT road, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
So when somebody complains about losing tires on an access road, that's not a Woodway maintained access road.
I would assume that from working for. Go ahead.
You have a municipal maintenance agreement between the city and TxDOT.
Okay.
And there's what that's The first thing it says is the city allows TxDOT to come into your city and maintain the highways.
Yep.
If you don't sign that, TxDOT can't take care of US 84. But then it gets down to surface streets. The frontage roads are included in that, and I guess maybe that's the 1695
yep.
or Hewitt Drive for a very short distance.
Yep.
But there's things like litter pickup that actually is a city responsibility. Mowing is a city responsibility, not on the freeway. So 84 is kind of excluded, although I know Woodway does an awful lot of mowing and stuff on there. I didn't mention this, but I've done traffic studies all over the state, from Corpus Christi, North Beach, getting ready to where the USS Lexington is and the State Aquarium. I've done study to wipe all of that out, and I'm also a bicyclist, or have been, not too much in the last year or so. I've also been a resident of Woodway since 1976, so getting close to 50 years. My kids live either side of us, and my parents live on Woodland West, and so, you know, I'm invested in Woodway as well. So it's, done a lot of studies, and I'm very, very familiar with this area. Drive Estates Drive all the time.
Great. Thank you, sir.
A little bit beyond what you were asking.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you, thank you. Good thing we got street sweepers now. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just was wondering how your proposal adequately addresses deliveries to residents on Estates Drive, like UPS,
did you send
Amazon, even the Postal Service, FedEx.
So, Mr. Keeson, we just had that question answered. Would you like him to repeat his answer?
Well, I'm not sure I adequately understood.
Okay, we can get him to repeat it, no problem. When it comes to deliveries, is what Mr. Keeson said.
Right, so with deliveries, I mean, that is, I guess, policy of however the city wants to administer that, but the vehicle would either use one of the lanes of traffic, whether that be the left turn lane or the right turn lane. But we acknowledge that that is something with three lanes as opposed to four lanes that it's traffic would have to go around it.
From the standpoint of mail, every day you're going to have to go around that postman, you know, while he's delivering his mail.
Yeah, it's just that my only point is it just seems really problematic for something that occurs every single day. That it's, I mean, under this current proposal. Now, I mean, believe me, I'm fully in favor of a properly thought out bike lane, but I don't understand how ongoing every single day you can ask drivers on Estates to go around or do something like that where you have normal deliveries that take place on a three-lane road.
Great. Any more questions for him? We can have discussion amongst us.
Yeah. Okay. It's a discussion amongst us.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you both. Thank you so much. All right. Well, Council, the action that we're taking tonight is on terminating this project. That's our action item here. So let's make sure that we keep on.
I'd like to make one step up before we
get absolutely. Absolutely. We can discuss.
For everyone's knowledge, I'm the one that brought it back to the Council, and it's not that I'm necessarily against this, it's just that we had such an outcry from citizens upset about it. I believe one of the reasons they was because the Waco Tribune Herald story was an excellent story, but it had a picture of the elementary school in front of it. That old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. Most people saw it, saw there was a story about it, thought immediately we're going to be cutting down the lanes in front of the elementary school and lost their minds. I tried my best on social media to explain it stopped at Midway, you know, it wasn't an issue. But many people brought up about the traffic issue even before you get to the elementary school. Now, I'm not against bikes at all. Matter of fact, I spent $2,000 on one of those e-bikes thinking I got an expensive bike. I'm sure y'all got a lot more expensive bikes. And I'm frustrated, just like everyone else is,
that there's areas of town that is isolated because you can't get across. And this area we've talked about for years, as Mayor Jane was talking about, we've always thought it was way too dangerous. We needed to find a solution. I live in the Woodland West area. We've got that same issue with Bosque. If you live in the Southwood area, they're very isolated. And then Whitehall, they can't get to this side of town because there's only a road or two that will take you, and they're very busy, you know, dangerous roads. So I like the idea of coming up with a solution. Tonight, we cannot talk about the other options possible, but we did talk about it quite a bit on social media. Tonight, it's just basically, do we terminate it or do we keep it? The other options, and people brought up many different options. One of them, for a later date, should we cut down the size and stop it at Acorn? That would take it a long ways away from the elementary school and would allow, in my opinion, the traffic coming from 84 to Bosque to dissipate a little bit more. The school and the drugstores will dissipate a lot of that. I brought up, for making it look right, even though it wouldn't be as needed as much, we could run from Bosque to Acorn. Other people talked about, oh, you could run Fairway and back roads, which is all great ideas. Personally, I would like to see an answer that, and of course, I think from my Woodland West location, going down Bosque, can go to the lake, go to the school, go to a restaurant.
A bike lane or a
pedestrian. Yeah, something like that. So I'm all for something. Some people were talking about, and talked about here, should we talk about having sidewalks? We've talked about it in the past. It's very expensive. The one thing that I talked about on social media, we could ask the city to look into a price from Fairway to Acorn. Here's the really bad part about that. There's a huge ravine there, a lot of big trees. I think the cost is going to be incredible, but if the citizens say that's what we need to at least get a price for, that's an option. So tonight's option is to terminate or to keep our vote that happened a month ago. If we terminate, we could look at other options. I'm a bicyclist. I want to say I'm a bicyclist. I've been on it about five times. But I want to be. But then again, people was very upset about the traffic situation close to the elementary school. So that's my whole statement.
Okay.
Sorry that my idea took an hour and a half almost. But we needed to get everybody's opinion. And I didn't want, people were so upset, I wanted the citizens to be able to have their opinion stated.
All right. Do you want to stick? We're about to make a motion.
Yeah. No, okay. I was just kidding. I'm so sorry. My daughter is about to sing at her choir concert.
I won't say no.
Midway High, and I all really right. want to be there.
Yeah.
Let's make a motion on this. For this project, I move that we not terminate this project and continue with the task order from the MRB group.
Second.
It's been seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. All opposed, please say nay.
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 The ayes have it, and we have two nays. Thank you.
No vote.
Motion passes.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. Thank you, Councilwoman.
Thank you. I'm so sorry.
Hope you get to feel
better. Sorry to keep you small.
Oh, no. I want to be here, too. That's the thing.
All right. Item number three is discussion and consider action.
Gail, he's asking, did you vote or you will be a no vote?
No vote.
Okay. Motion still carries. All right, thank you all. Item number three is discussion and consider action on publishing a request for proposal for a facilities condition assessment for the old Woodway Family Center building located at 1100 Estates Drive, Woodway, Texas. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. City Manager, item number three.
Yes, sir. A few council meetings ago, you asked staff to prepare a request for proposal, and we have that before you on page 14. This draft includes the thoughts and comments we received from all council members, and we just wanted you to be aware of its final form that will be published for solicitation. So we're asking for the ability to move forward as presented.
Okay, sir, thank you. Anything else?
No, sir.
Is that all? All right, council, any discussion on item number 3?
I'd just like to say it's very well put together. I appreciate the work that's gone into it.
So basically all these items will be looked at from a contract standpoint. I mean, like, for instance, we have roofing and all the other stuff. What if it doesn't need a roof or that type of stuff?
Those are the things we're asking them to inspect, comment on,
okay,
or advise us, okay, to alter or change.
Okay.
Now, I might comment that we have in process now a solicitation of interest regarding Meals on Wheels, and so far as I can tell, there is no yet any resolution to that. And if there is support for a Meals on Wheels luncheon site, question is where would it be, and how might we accommodate the needs of the Meals on Wheels people wherever we decide that activity should be located?
Mr. Manager, do we need to put that in the RFP?
No.
I wouldn't think so. Or do we?
If y'all want to put it in there, we'll put it in there. I think you're raising the bar very high for,
okay,
people of interest.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be put in there either. I think that we have enough facilities that if we were to put our minds together and say, okay, what are these facilities being used for during working hours, and whether or not we can accommodate a Meals on Wheels program, we can figure that out internally. I don't think we need to put the, it wouldn't have anything to do with looking at this building from a standpoint of whether or not it is salvageable. I think that's what we're looking at, right? Is whether or not this building is something that we would be willing to invest potentially a significant amount of money into, so that we would have the usability of another building for whatever purpose that might be. A particular program really is immaterial. And I certainly support, and I wish we had done this ahead of time. I wish I'd been here beforehand, because I would have definitely said, hey, before we build a new facility, let's do a deep dive into what's going on with this particular facility. So I definitely want to go on the record and say I do support that. And I think that from a functionality standpoint, or what we use it for, is secondary to whether or not it can be used. And so as long as we do that.
But no need to put Meals on Wheels.
I don't think we need to talk about any specific program whatsoever.
Okay.
As much as we should talk about, can we salvage the building? And if we can, what is going to be the cost to do that?
Okay.
There seems to be a typographical error on page 2 of the RFP, where it talks about the new family. Woodway Family Center being 19,000 square feet.
I saw that.
13,800 something.
We'll get that fixed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else on this RFP? Did y'all like everything else that was in there? I thought it was pretty thorough myself. But
yeah, I don't think we have any boilers or chillers in there. So
yeah,
it looked like it was cooling towers,
a lot of things. There's a lot of boilerplate in here that may not be applicable.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I think is not applicable.
Okay. Any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion on publishing this request for proposal for the facilities condition assessment for the old family center.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. Gail, are you a no vote again?
Oh.
I didn't hear you.
I would say nay on this one.
You're a nay. Okay. So the ayes have it, and the motion carries with one nay. Item number four is discussion and consider action on entering into an agreement with Walker Partners LLC to provide engineering services in connection with the Whitehall parking lot improvements in an amount not to exceed $41,250, and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
I'll make a motion.
Open for discussion.
All right. Move to open for discussion. Thank you. Moved and seconded. Mr. Manager, number four.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Ms. Barclay, can we go to number 20? This is a proposed area of the parking lot. We have members of Walker Partner here, Mr. Schultz, with Walker Partners. I guess you'll be assigned to the project, mostly?
That's Mr. Dunlop.
Oh,
we'll be on the project.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Jacob Bell. So what this is to add an additional 44 spaces to the Whitehall Park. It was originally conceived to go in place where the former play equipment was. But after thought and a few citizens calling, we decided to put it there, which is logistically better for more park activities and also keeps the kids from crossing the streets. We're just asking to engage the services of Walker Partners to get the engineer portion of this done at an amount not to exceed $41,250.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Council, we've got Jacob Bell and Mr. Douglas. Is that right?
Dunlop.
We got all kinds of names today. Don't take that from him, all right? You stand up for yourself. Just kidding. Any questions for these gentlemen about the parking? Do you all understand where we're moving the parking to?
Yes.
To be safer and closer to the play?
Yes.
Play equipment?
We're not moving the parking. We're
adding additional.
You say move, I was like, wait a second.
No.
Oh, just the words.
We're going to have that spot there, and then we're going to add more lots of there.
Sure.
Thank you. No,
I go there quite a bit when it's warm.
It's going to be
a good park
right off the walking track there.
Yeah.
All right. Any discussion? Mm-mm. Okay. There being no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that.
Go ahead.
You made me lose my spot.
Item four.
Yeah. I move that we enter into an agreement with Walker Partners LLC to provide engineering services in connection with the Whitehall parking lot improvements in an amount not to exceed $41,250.00, and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
I'll second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you. All right, we've got parking at Whitehall.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen. Discussion, item number five is discussion and consider action on adopting ordinance 23-14 regarding the City of Woodway, Texas Municipal Retirement System of adopting non-retroactive repeating COLAs for retirees and their beneficiaries under TMRS account 8853.404 letter F and FL. And establishing an effective date of January 1st, 2024.
I'll make a motion.
Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion.
And second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you all.
I would like a definition for non-retroactive repeating COLAs. Can somebody define that for my help me if we're having some members in the audience?
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Manager.
With that question, let me show you a video first, and it may start addressing some of the things we're fixing to talk about. And we're going to lay, you got the audio by you, Ms. Barclay?
Trying to. Okay. Hold on.
We got YouTube.
Hello. Today, I'd like
like to talk with you about TMRS's new co-option and what you need to know. Let's begin with explaining what is a COLA. A COLA is a cost of living adjustment that increases a retiree's or beneficiary's monthly retirement benefit. This is to help offset the negative effect of inflation. The Consumer Price Index used by the U.S. Department of Labor is used to measure inflation. And of course, inflation is what's happening to the prices of goods and services in the overall marketplace. Cities and TMRS can provide a COLA that is 30%, 50%, or 70% of the change in the CPI. TMRS's new COLA option. Let's distinguish the difference between the new COLA option and our traditional COLA. The traditional COLA in TMRS accounts for the cumulative effect of inflation on a retiree's benefit. That is, the effect of inflation on that retiree's benefit since the year that he's retired. The new COLA option, while it does take into account the effect that inflation has had on the retiree's benefit, it's only looking back at the most recent year in which TMRS has studied the effects of inflation. This change means that the new COLA option is less expensive for cities. It removes the so-called catch-up for cities without a COLA, and all retirees from the city that has this COLA option are going to receive the same COLA percentage, the same increase on the amount of their monthly retirement annuity. The new COLA features you need to be aware of. They're only available as a repeating COLA. Cities and TMRS have the option to adopt one-time COLAs, but for the new COLA, we're only talking about repeating COLAs. Cities cannot adopt a lower CPI percentage than they currently have. I mentioned earlier that those percentages are 30%, 50%, or 70% of the change in CPI. A city that is currently at 70%, they cannot lower that percentage to 50% or 30% under this new COLA option. Conversely, though, a city that currently has a repeating option and would like to increase the CPI percentage can do so. A city with a 50% COLA but would like to adopt a 70% can do so under the new COLA option. Cities that are looking to adopt this new COLA, they can be adopted to take effect January 1, 2024, 2025, or 2026. This new COLA option, importantly, for our cities, they need to understand that if you currently have a COLA and you don't want to change it, you don't have to. No action is required if you want to keep your current COLA. I'd like to take you to our website to show you a few of the resources available to help explain not just the new COLA option, but our traditional COLA as well. Here at the TMRS website, on our homepage, you'll find the link under one of the quick links for this new repeating COLA option. You click on it, and there's an explanation of the new repeating COLA option that's available to all of our TMRS cities, and it goes into much of the detail that we discussed in today's presentation. On the TMRS homepage, you'll also find fact sheets that discuss the COLA option. Our traditional COLA overview, there's a cost of living adjustment calculation fact sheet, and the cost of living adjustment for this new repeating COLA option that we discussed today. If you have additional questions about the new COLA, please give me a call or contact me at the email on the screen. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mayor. See, you asked the perfect softball. You just had it all loaded up ready for him.
Mm-hmm. So this deals with non-retroactive and...
Well, this is introducing a new actuarial table study that TMRS did to come up with an option that some cities may or may not choose, depending on their amount of retirees, their budget constraints or abilities, or how they want to attract, retain future employees. So what we've been doing is, and I've talked to a lot of people about trying to understand this, our current deal takes in your years of retirement and averages those out for your considered COLA increase. What they're giving you the option to do now is do away with that and only use the prior year for everybody, no matter how much you retired, how many years of service you retired with, or how much your income is. It's based on 70% of the CPI.
This would seem to be to simplify the calculation process.
I think it does, but I have a few other comments to make. This is a policy decision. One, two, it affects all the employees, so I don't think the employees should make this decision based on those two things. I took a sample retiree. We have 52 current retirees. This retiree, don't know who he or she was, retired in 2015. With $2,297 a month, what they did. When you calculate as they have been doing and go back and basically average it all the years they've been retired since 2015, they have increased their retirement over those years by $2,598 based on the CPI index all those years. If that would be their current one. If we go the retro method, that would be, if you continue that, this year they would go to $2,721.90. If you do the non-retro, where you just do the single-year snapshot, they would receive $2,716.07. Difference of $5. Don't know how much they need that a month. Don't know. But that's the difference. This is all based on how long that employee worked here, how much they made, and I'm sure the CPI and the amount the city has to contribute more or less depends on when that person falls off the retirement. And we know what we're saying there. So we don't really understand when that can occur. But our current system, on a budgetary concern, has small incremental increases or decreases depending on that CPI. The only unknown that I can't figure out is with the appraisal caps or the revenue caps that we have at 3.5. If we go the proposed non-retro, are there going to be bigger swings than that in which future councils, because when you get into this, you're in it. Our future councils are going to have difficulties with budgets, not on the payroll side, but on the capital, what they're trying to do for quality of life or things like that. I don't have an answer for that.
When was the last time we raised the percentage on the COLA?
This is all calculated by TMRS. So currently you're at the maximum amount to participate in a retirement program, and you're at the maximum 70% of whatever the CPI is. As the gentleman was saying, you can't back out of that 70% commitment. So I don't know when that was adjusted. But Ms. Barclay, you've been here 20 plus years, and...
You have to think way back.
Yeah. How can you be that? You don't look that old, period. Yeah. Tell me this, on Texas Municipal Retirement System, will this vote change? I'm assuming we pay in almost like a
insurance type or whatever to pay those retirees would change what we pay into the system.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But in the coming year, it would be less. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you what that is after that, because now we don't know what the inflation of the CPI is going to be, mm-hmm. How much that's going to be. I can tell you that every retiree is going to get a cost of living adjustment.
Sure.
That's a given. That's not ever changing. Mm-hmm. But in this snapshot, in this example, they are all not getting what they had been getting as much of in the past if you go to the non-retro rate.
The recommend to approve this mm-hmm. would, I'm assuming, if I understand correctly, would lower our expenses this year, but we don't know what it would do in the future years. Is that correct?
I can't figure it out, and I can't get anybody to give me a phone answer.
So in other words, it's so darn confusing, it's like figuring your income tax.
Yeah. Does your staff have a proposal in this matter?
Approving it.
Or we could do nothing.
Doing nothing will just leave it as is, and it would have that cumulative average of that individual retirees mm-hmm. carry forward to calculate the 70% or whatever CPI is.
Does your staff and our financial manager have a recommendation in this matter?
I would say leave it as is.
Okay. So do nothing.
Thank you. Yeah. I would support
that. Because this just seems so confusing, it's hard to figure out what's the right answer.
All right. Any other discussion? Okay. Well, we, in order to do nothing, I guess we just...
Do we have to make a motion to do nothing or not to approve? Or
not to approve, it looks like.
All right, do I need to read the ordinance still? Probably so. Okay.
So we can just say, make a motion
to not
approve ordinance 23-14.
Not adopt.
Not adopt, yeah.
And is that simple enough, or do we need to go any further?
I think with your not adopting it, that's simple.
Okay, so I'll make that motion.
Second.
I've already said it.
Moved, seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
Thank you.
The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Ordinance 23-14 is not adopted.
And then we go to executive.
No, we're going to the consent.
Oh, that's right.
Consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Council, you have the consent agenda in front of you. Are there any items you'd like removed?
There's some small corrections we need to do on A and B.
Okay. So let's move 6A and 6B out. And Mr. Manager, any comments on 6C through F?
Just very quickly, disposal of surplus or unrepairable items need to be approved by council, so we have the picnic tables.
Okay.
The next item, D is in David. There's only two dates that we're either pushing or pulling due to holidays. That's May 13th and 20th. We're moving May 27th meeting due to the Memorial holiday to May 20th.
Okay.
And you're just approving this so we can get it calendared. Same with October. We're moving the October 14th meeting to October 7th due to Columbus Day. The next one is approving of the current investment policy. We visited with RBC Capital. They reviewed our investment policy. It is the same as it was approved by the investment officers last year. So we just have it back on the agenda to approve it as it was previously approved. The next item is to hire for water tank cleaning of the floors for not to exceed $71,282 to Consor Engineers doing business as U.S. Underwater. This is a cooperative purchasing agreement with Byboard. This is to remove sediment and repairs to the water tanks using commercial divers. Your quote's also on page 66 of your agenda. And that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. All right, Council, we're moving 6A and 6B out. I'll entertain a motion on approving consent agenda item 6B, excuse me, 6C through 6F.
So moved.
It's moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. The motion carries unanimously, and items 6C through F are approved unanimously. Thank you. The next item is item 6A. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Russell?
We could do both because they're same problem on both ones. I don't know if you have
to think. Well, I think I have to because they're broken out to two agenda items.
Okay. It shows that Mayor Pro Tem John Williams started the meeting and did not show that you started the meeting on the minutes. And I believe you started the meeting on both.
Oh, because I wasn't here for the prior one.
Yeah, it was the prior one.
Okay, so it was right on the first one, but not on the second one. Is that correct?
No. October meeting, probably. Yeah, I was here for the October meeting.
Let's go back. Let me find it on here. There's too many places to look in this computer.
I was here for the November 13th one.
Yeah, that's not the same.
Oh. Yeah, I think on. Yeah, that's what I'm saying on both. Ones, I don't know if we did it.
Okay, well, just to make it clean, motion to approve that change.
Second.
Yes.
Moved and seconded.
Yes.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Item 6B, discussion, consider action minutes of the regular council meeting held November 13th at 6:15. Motion to discuss.
So moved.
Motion.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Same comments, Mr.
Same comments.
All right. I'll entertain a motion on making that change.
I move that we make the appropriate changes to the minutes for February 13th.
I'll second.
20th.
Okay. The 6:15 p.m.
6:15, that's right.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and those changes are going to be made. Thank you. Okay, item number 7 is our executive session. Notice is hereby given that a closed meeting will be held pursuant to Section 551.071 of the Texas Government Code to consult with the city attorney regarding pending or contemplated litigation. I'll now close the public meeting at 7:58 p.m. Reconvening at 8:23 p.m. Opening the public meeting at this time. Item number 8 is discussion and consider action regarding MDL. Number 218 MM 2873 RMG class action lawsuits pending in the United States District Court of the Southern District of South Carolina. 1. City of Camden et al. V. 3M Company, cause number 223 CV 03147 RMG, pending in the United States Court District of South Carolina, Southern District. City of Camden et al. V. EI DuPont. De Nemours and Company, cause number 223 CV 0230-RMG, pending in the United States District Court, District of South Carolina, Southern District. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. That was a mouthful. Woo!
Yeah, it was.
I can't know what you're saying.
I was hoping there was a shortcut there somewhere. No. Okay. So, Mr. Manager, any further comments on number 8?
No further comments, thank you.
Okay. Well, Council, I will entertain a motion to remain in the class action lawsuit pending in the United States District Court of the Southern District for these two lawsuits.
Can we just say I make a motion for the city attorney to enact item 8?
No, it's the council's decision to say, yeah, I will execute your wishes.
But we have to read the whole.
Oh, no, yeah.
You can just say it the way I said it.
Fine.
Well, so if I say make a motion for the city attorney to execute, no?
No, it's the city. It's you guys.
The city.
No. You can just say it the way I said it.
And how did you say it?
Authorize.
Authorize.
You can move for the city to participate in the lawsuits described in item 8. That would be fine. The thing I'm challenging is it's not the city attorney doing it.
It's the city doing it. I got you. Okay. Anybody else want to take run at that, or you want me to do it?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do this.
Authorize the city to, I don't remember exactly the words.
Remain
in the class action lawsuit on item 8.
In these two
lawsuits. In these two lawsuits. Fair enough.
I'll second that.
Great. Moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right, item number 9 is the City Manager's Report. These are briefings or updates that are provided regarding city services, administrative personnel matters, real estate development, infrastructure, events, regulations, community, and intergovernmental relations issues. Mr. City Manager.
A few things. The staff wanted to show their appreciation to y'all for what y'all have done in the past year through the budget process. So they put
these are so nice.
Take-homes. Yes, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Secondly, this will be our last meeting for the year, so we won't see you till next year. And Ms. Barclay, help me on recognizing what are we recognizing Christmas and your Christmas holiday as? Just as a reminder,
Monday
and Tuesday.
Christmas Day is Monday,
and then the Tuesday.
Christmas is on Sunday, isn't it? It's Monday.
Christmas Eve is Sunday.
Christmas Eve is Sunday.
Okay. Garbage.
Like Christmas Eve. Day,
but
with the following
Sunday, Monday. Yeah, Monday and Tuesday.
Great. Garbage will be pushed today that week, as well as recycling. So.
Okay.
That's it.
So when we have the Christmas dinner?
We get coconut cake.
Oh, you got coconut cake around here. Sorry.
I forgot we get in that HEB
complimentary.
Yeah, everybody gets a little.
But Mr. Williams is asking if there's a Christmas dinner that he can be a part of.
I'll see if there's one.
I thought we had a Christmas dinner or something like that.
We've got the Woodway Christmas.
Lighting.
The Woodway Christmas event.
Yeah.
But not a dinner. No. Okay. Sorry, John.
That's it.
You want to come on my house?
There's a banquet in February.
There's a banquet in February. Okay.
John, you come on. You come on my house.
Keep your Santa costume.
This is quite a fancy get up here, isn't it? God.
Thank you. Alrighty. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Item number 10 is City Council reports. Are there any reports from City Council?
Dave, I believe you've got a P&Z meeting tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
5 Day p.m.?
One, Starlight Estates.
5 p.m.?
Amongst
yes, sir.
Okay. Alrighty. Anything else?
P&Z.
Okay. What's the location of the P&Z meeting?
Here.
Right here? Okay. It's not at the pavilion. All right. Thank you. That's right. All right. Number 11 is consider action on adjournment. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned at 8:29 p.m.
Make that motion.